Praise the Lord again. If you could stand this evening, I'll tell you where I'm at. That time change, I'm here to tell you. In 2 days, it's supposed to be spring. So that means it'll probably snow on Wednesday. Oh, I called my uncle yesterday and he was talking. He lives in Texas, the continent of Texas. And he was telling us it was 70s. The trees were already budding out and the leaves were putting out and they're planting their gardens and all that stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man, it's coming. It'll be here. We ended our message this morning with a passage from Matthew chapter 7. And I'd like to continue to read that passage as we go into from our last theme into our next theme. The theme of this particular series is titled Priorities. It's kind of a math equation, if you could put it that way. Priorities plus principles determine purpose, and purpose equals power. How many of you want to have power in your life? I am believing that God is seeking to empower His church like He has never empowered them before, but there's some things that we have to do before He will do that. And we have to understand that God is a God of principle, God is a God of integrity, and He will live and rule within those principles. And He won't make exceptions, unfortunately. So, if you think that you're better than maybe you should be getting things better than what you're really getting them and such, you know, God is God and He's sovereign and He makes decisions based upon principles, and we need to live our lives based upon the principles that are found in the Word of God. Now, this is a passage. Jesus is just finishing up His Sermon on the Mount, and He kind of throws this at the end of it, and it really kind of doesn't really fit in with what He had been preaching, but He was trying to teach them a little bit of a lesson here, I believe. And it says, "Now therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," after He just got done preaching, "and does them," He says, "I will liken him to a wise man," excuse me, "who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," so I could put it this way, if you're listening to this message tonight and you do what this message asks of you or requires of you to do, you would be building your house upon a rock. And if you leave here tonight and you say, you know what, I'm not interested in that at all, then now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You can be seated tonight. This entire passage of Scripture could really be summarized in four simple points that all of us are building. We're all building. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about a physical structure. He was talking about your lives. We are all building our lives. Every day, everything we do, every decision we make, every choice we make, we are building or adding to or taking away from our life. And our life is set on a foundation. All of us have a foundation of some sort. Some of our foundations may be in a bit poor shape. They might be, instead of a solid concrete foundation, perhaps now your foundation is down to just a pile of stones that some timbers are across. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how your life has been built up to this point, but you have been building on your life, and your building or your life is on a foundation, and sooner or later that foundation is going to be tested. There's going to be storms that come into your life. There's going to be situations that come into your life that will test you, and it will determine whether or not you fall. Now, Jesus was saying that every foundation, there's only one type of foundation that's going to stand, and that is a foundation that is built on a solid rock. So what are you building today? What are you building in your life? Are you building your life for eternity, or are you just building your life for the here and the now? This morning we talked about setting our priorities. We talked about the importance of empowerment, of knowing God's will for your life. This is a series on knowing your purpose, finding out your purpose in life. And we talked about setting our priorities. And we used Jesus as our supreme example this morning, and we will use him again as our supreme example tonight. We'll move on to see just what did Jesus focus on in his life. At the beginning of this year, if you remember back in January, we spoke on focus, and we talked about the importance of focusing in our lives. We can get our lives sometimes so out of focus, and there's a lot of things that will get our lives out of focus. We talked about distractions, and we talked about all kinds of different situations and such that come in that distract us. But when you look at Jesus was intense in his focus. You can't read anywhere in the scripture where he lost his composure, he lost his focus, and he just lost it. You don't see that with Jesus. Everywhere he went, there was a purpose and an intention for what he was doing. Everything he did, there was a reason behind it. He was not distracted in any way, and he never allowed distractions to detour him from his mission. So when we ask ourselves how, if we want to be like Jesus Christ, if we want Jesus Christ to be our supreme example, what was his secret? What did he do? What was it that Jesus did? And then studying all of this and looking into to building our lives and priorities and principles and purpose and where we're looking to go with empowerment and trying to find our purpose or God's will for our life, it really falls down to three simple things that Jesus did. But he did those three things very, very well, with great efficiency. So when we look into this, we're going to go into the book of Luke tonight, and we're talking about how priorities. We talked about priorities this morning, and we're going to continue on priorities. But when we talk about priorities, priorities help build our principles. Principles are important. They're necessary for you to have principles in your life. Principles, there's a whole lot of different principles that we need to have in our lives, and I don't have enough time to go over everything this evening, but we need to build our life on principles that are found in the Word of God, and we've talked a lot about that lately because principles will begin to determine our purpose. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why God put you on this planet, and our purpose helps propel us into our empowerment. So everything builds upon one another. So what do we see Jesus do? When we read in the last part of Luke chapter 4, Jesus shows us that priorities, that he knew his priorities and he knew his purpose. He knew what he had to do. He knew what was most important. And he knew why he had to do it. And Jesus knew what to put first. So in these things he focused on, and all the other things he seemingly let go out of his life. So setting priorities was really his very first important task. Now understand something, that priorities are not goals. We talked a few weeks ago about goals. Priorities are not goals. Goals are things you want to do. Priorities is the order in which you're going to do those things. Priority determines what is most important in your life. So there, when we look at each and every day, we set priorities for ourselves. We determine what's most important in our lives by what we do first. That's how we live. Some of it's just out of habit, but a lot of it is we determine what's most important. And I said this morning that if we don't set our priorities in our life, if you don't set what's most important for you in your life, then promise, I promise you, somebody else is going to set that for you. If you don't take the initiative to set your own priorities, what's most important in your life, then those around you are going to determine what's most important based upon their selfish desires. Think for yourself. So when you read in the first part of Luke chapter 4, verse 42, we find, "Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them." Now when you read this, you have to kind of get a whole backstory on Jesus and what he was really all about in his life. Jesus, according to Luke 42, it was yet day. He departed and he went into a deserted place, not a desert place, but a place out that was deserted, that there was no one around. And he went to that deserted place where there would be no people because he desired to get away from the crowds of people. That when we look back earlier in this chapter, Jesus started out preaching at the synagogue. He was preaching and teaching at the synagogue, and he had great crowds of people that had joined around him, and they were marveled at his wisdom. And they said, "This man surely must be a prophet because, I mean, he's so young. Where does all this wisdom come from?" Then later, we're assuming it was Simon Peter, his wife's mother or his mother-in-law was sick with the fever. So on his way leaving the synagogue, he swung by Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and he prayed for her and healed her of her sick fever. And it was getting late in the day, and Jesus was confronted with the man who was demon-possessed and came up and confronted him. And Jesus, on a mission to get out of town and get out into a deserted place, he prays for him, and he casts out and commands the devils to come out of him. And the Bible says he laid hands on many people that were sick, and he healed all of them. And the day was coming to a close. And here we find Jesus, tired, worn out, and he's headed out to a deserted place. He needed time for himself because he needed time to pray. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you, but we often think of Jesus as someone who really never needed time for himself because he was constantly on the go and he was constantly giving and he sought out the people. You read this in many passages in the Gospels that he sought out the people. And yet we find on a very frequent basis that Jesus was going out into a deserted place to escape the crowds. Going up onto a mountain. There are times we would read he would go up onto a mountainside to get away from the people. It's not because he wanted to just spend some time in nature. It's not because he did not love humanity. But you see, Jesus realized something that you and I many times simply choose to overlook, and that is he had a priority. And he must fulfill that priority. Understand something, that people, this may go against some of your theology, but people was not his number one priority. They may say, "Well, I don't understand that, because he came to seek and to save that which is lost." People were important. They were a priority. But they weren't his number one priority. And if we're going to find that purpose, if we're going to find that calling for our lives, we must have the same number one priority that Jesus had. We must establish priorities. We must live a life on principles, godly, biblical priorities and principles. I remember back in 1997 in my life, and I was really having some struggles in my life, and I was kind of at a crossing point in my life. I wasn't always the type, the person you see up here. I didn't always live my life according to godly principles and according to godly morals, and I desired to be used of God, and I had been running from God for a long, long time. when I use the term running from God, it's not like I was out running and God was chasing me. It wasn't like that. For those of you that may not be understand this vernacular sometimes, it means that God had called me to do something and I said, I'm not doing it. And I was determined to be stubborn and not do it. We talked about that this morning, the difference between stubborn and determination. So I felt at an early age that God had called me into a life of ministry. And at first it was exciting, you know, to think that God was calling me. And as the years went by, I became distracted with the career, became distracted with the family and then possessions, and you become obsessed with accumulating stuff. If you find yourself in that position tonight to where that you are obsessed with filling your life up with stuff, there's something missing. There's something missing. I just want to tell you, listen, you can buy all the stuff you can buy. You can spend yourself into oblivion and still not be happy. If you're running from God, no matter where you run, he's there. It doesn't matter. David said, you know, I can go to the bottom of the ocean and he's there. I can go to the top. I can go to the top, the highest mountain, and he's there. I can go anywhere, east, west, everywhere I go, God is there. So I don't know why I felt that I could outrun or outmaneuver God, but I tried it for about 13 years. And I very quickly realized that after I had hit bottom, and really it was January of 1997, and I started on my way back up, I began to realize that in order to fulfill that calling that God had on my life, I had to change. That's the only way it was going to happen. If you're here, you struggle with change, you will never, ever fulfill your purpose in life until you change. It won't happen. Don't try to fool yourself. I had to change, and I've really, since the beginning of this year, been really teaching as best and preaching as best as I can from my heart, because this year has been a very personal journey for me, in the sense that this year I've got a lot of help from God this year, and we talked about sharing in principle and process where I started and where I'm going, and I'm not trying to make this all about me here tonight, understand, but I've lived no other life other than mine, and I really have no other experiences to share other than mine. And God has brought me on a journey, and it started with seeking after his will. It started with seeking after his plan and his purpose for my life. And I understood and began to realize what needed to be done. And I told God, I remember the night very distinctively, I told God and I made a promise to him on that night that I would allow God to complete in me what he started some 28 years ago. Now, we're all running different races tonight. I mentioned this morning, and I think sometimes we try to always compare ourselves with other people. I just want to tell you tonight, if you compare yourself to other people, you will fail miserably. God didn't make you like the person sitting next to you. God doesn't expect you to run the same race that they're running. We are all running our own race. And God has been so faithful. He promised to me that if I was faithful to him, that he would be faithful to me, that he would indeed restore unto me. Sometimes we think that all of those years that we wasted, will I ever get them back? I prayed that. I said, God, all of those years, am I ever going to get those years back? Because I wasted so many years of my life. And God made a promise to me. He said, I will restore those years that I allowed. As the scripture says in Joel, that we allow the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm to destroy. So tonight, if you've allowed the enemy to destroy your life, God can and he will restore what has been destroyed. I promise God that every door that he opened up as a door of opportunity, no matter what it cost me, I would walk through that door. But in order for all that to happen, I had to make some changes in my life. And I had to set goals and I had to reset my priorities. And for the first time in my life that I could remember, I had, instead of it wasn't religion. We got to be careful sometimes because we come and we think about church as religion. But religion is one thing, but God is seeking to have a relationship with us. And for the first time in my life that I could remember that I had a relationship with God. And we got to be careful here, church. Understand something. That service to Him, doing His work, is not the same as a relationship with Him. We get this in Pentecost, we can get this so backwards. We can get this so distorted because we feel that because we're in a ministry, well, I'm a praise singer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I am doing something for God. You can do something for God and not have a relationship with God. That was my problem the first part of my life up until my early 20s is I was doing all kinds of things for God, but I did not have a relationship with God. Listen, ministry is important. People are important. Salvation is important. But let's look at Jesus as our example. People were a priority, but they were not His number one priority. That was not His number one goal. So when we read about this and we find, what was His number one priority? And we find it in Luke 6. Verse 12, and now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. He went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. You may ask yourself, you know, Pastor, I can't pray all night. I just can't do it. You know, I struggle doing it too. I'd be honest with you, all night's a long, long time to pray. But you know, if you start off with just maybe 5 minutes out of an hour, and then you increase that and you add to that, I used to not could drive all night either. But you know what? After a while, after doing it enough times and practicing enough times, pretty soon I could drive all night, Brother Shane. Used to drive to Texas, and man, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was done. Couldn't go anymore. Then I'd push it to 4:30 and then 5, and then I'd wait until I'd start to set landmarks. I'll drive until I get to this point. Pretty soon, I was driving 16 hours straight from my house to my aunt and uncle's house in East Texas, stopping for fuel and peanut patties and Mountain Dew. If you're from the South, you know what peanut patties are. You can't get them till you get to Blytheville, Arkansas. That was almost 10-hour drive, so that was my big goal, to get to Blytheville and stock up on peanut patties. So here Jesus, He prayed all night. Why did He pray all night long? You know, sometimes life just gets so heavy on us. And we have a desire to pray, but instead of praying, we just end up complaining all night long. And God desires that we spend time with Him. When you look at what He was doing the next day, you see the day before, or the day after Jesus prayed all night, we find in Luke 6:13, the next morning He called His disciples together. Now, Jesus had, up until this point, He had a lot of disciples. He didn't have the 12. Now, the 12 were part of it, but He had a lot of disciples. And He was going to make a choice. He was going to make a decision that next day that He was going to choose 12 of those men out of all of those followers. So the next morning, He called His disciples together and chose 12 of them. to be his apostles. So here Jesus is making a very, very crucial life decision here of his ministry on earth, because he could only choose, he was only going to choose 12. So when we look at what was Jesus' priority, his priority was prayer. His priority was prayer. Now you say, well, Pastor, you mean to tell me that my priority in God should be prayer? Yes, it should be. You're not going to get very far without it. If you want to find out what your purpose is in this life, you won't find it in a book. You're going to find it in prayer, praying to God and saying, God, would you please help reveal to me what you want me to do? And he will begin to show you in this book what you need to do and where you need to go. You see, whenever we're faced with an important decision to make, just as Jesus did, we need to pray. You have a long day, a frustrating day at work. You come home. Maybe you had a frustrating day at school. Maybe you had just a terrible Sunday school class this morning. Maybe everything that could go wrong did go wrong in the kitchen this morning while you're trying to make sandwiches for the coffee shop there, Great Awakening, and they kept breaking eggs and burning bacon, whatever. I mean, you just have bad days. And so many times we come home and we're mad. We don't want to talk to anybody. The wife knows we're mad. The dog knows we're mad. Everybody knows we're mad. The neighbor knows we're mad. The way we came into our driveway, the way we slammed the door and kicked the bike off the sidewalk. Go in, lock yourself into the bedroom, and for your own sanity, for the sanity and the sake of your family, spend some time with God in prayer. Listen, he can handle any frustration that you've got. Any problem you've got, he can handle and he can deal with. He's a big God. You see, God speaks to us through his word. And we speak to him through prayer. And God's word is important for us. And prayer is communication with God. It's talking to God. You see, we know today people that because of religion, listen, you can, as I said, you can be Pentecostal all your life and never know God. I just read a really interesting article, and it talked about religion and all this, and then it had a little bit at the end about relationship. But listen, it's not about what name is hung out there on the sign. It's about having a relationship with God. And that was my problem. Listen, I grew up in this, and to me, it was all about being Pentecostal. I can pick on us tonight because this is what I grew up in. It was all about being Pentecostal. But until I learned to pray, until I learned to communicate with God, until I realized that God would communicate back to me, it became about relationship and not about religion. You see, it's not that I'd never learned to pray. This is no fault of my father, our bishop. He would bring us in his bedroom every night. Every night he would bring us in and we would have family prayer. And we would pray. But most of the time we spent praying as a family, I personally spent listening to my dad pray. And the other time I spent sneaking in my little army men and playing in the shag carpet. Because my dad could pray for a long time. I would think, man, we got to get up in the morning. It's getting late. It was all right if we were up playing and doing something, but God forbid we'd be up late praying. You know how that goes. All night praying? I'm out playing video games Friday. Okay, we're going to go all night. Yeah, count me in. We've all been there. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. My father, he taught us how to pray, but he couldn't teach me how to have that relationship, that personal relationship with God. I had to get that for myself. I had to have that in here. And for all of you young people that are still living at home, maybe you've just left home and you're in college and your family grew up in Pentecost. Listen, you will fail miserably if you do not develop a relationship with God. Your mom and dad won't get you to heaven. You got to get there on your own. I can't hold on to his tails or his suit coat to get into heaven. I got to get there myself. I've got to have my own relationship with God. One of the greatest dangers, listen to me now, I feel one of the greatest dangers is our second generation and third generation and fourth generation and on Pentecostal. If you can't live off the relationships of previous generations, you got to get this for yourself. You got to get this. You got to develop this relationship. You got to develop prayer and a love for prayer and a love for reading God's word. You got to do this on your own. It's not about who you know. It's not about how much you know. It's that you have a relationship. We need to know Jesus. And it's not until that I knew Jesus personally that he began to reveal himself to me. I never realized that I could communicate with God the way that I communicate with God. I felt that only my pastor, my dad, was worthy of that kind of communication. He's the pastor. God has to talk to him because the church depends on it. I realized that God can speak to me if I'm willing to talk to him and then shut up enough to listen to him. So many times we just like to go and air our beefs out. We're talking about priorities tonight. We just air our beefs out and we tell God everything that's wrong with our life and why our life stinks so much. And then we don't listen. And we just walk off and we're mad, stomp away, angry. And then we say, God never listens to me. You never give him an opportunity to talk. You ever try to talk with somebody that just won't give you an opportunity to talk? It's a one-sided conversation. They go and 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 then it's over with. There are times I put my phone on my desk and I've gone out of the room and come back and people are still talking and they never even knew I left. I really did do that. I'm like, I wonder if I can do this, if they will even know. I wouldn't recommend it. Might get yourself in trouble. I'm sorry, hon. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm just kidding. I would never do that. When I see her, I got a little special. She's got a little special part on my phone. You know, we all have. You should have that, guys. She's my sweetheart. I'm trying to make up for this, hon. I just blew all of this, didn't I? We'll have to have some conversation after church, honey. You see, when God's a priority, you spend lots of time with him. You know, if you're dating tonight, I'm going to give you girls some advice and you guys some advice too. If you're dating and your boyfriend doesn't want to spend a lot of time with you and he'd rather spend time with his buddies, you might want to rethink that. I'm just telling you, okay? You might want to rethink that. If basketball and football and video games, and sounds like I'm really down on video games, but man, you could waste a lot of time. You could waste a lot of time on all of that stuff. And then also, guys, if your girl, if she always, it's the mall, the mall, the mall, the mall, And it's always with their girlfriends. I got to meet this one at the mall. I got to meet this one at the mall. And this, this, and this. And it's all about shoes and purses. And you know how it goes. That's just the way we're wired, folks. Don't get mad at me. I like shoes, but I don't like purses, okay? And I'm not a prolific wallet shopper, okay? I buy one, I use it until it's literally worn out, and then I get another one. That's just the way we guys are. We sit on our purse. Ladies like to carry theirs out. You ever notice that? They got a really nice one. They like to show it off. I'm digging myself a hole here, Brother Shane. Jesus loves me, this I know. You see, God has to be number one in your life. And this goes back to the dating. I'll finish that. If God's not number one in your boyfriend or girlfriend's life, don't get involved. Just don't even go there. It's... You see, it's only after you begin to establish a relationship with God, it was only after I begin to establish a relationship with God that God began to use me and begin to show me what my purpose in life was. You see, we can read the rest of this passage from Luke. Jesus clearly and he accurately knew what his purpose was. We knew what his priority is. Priority is prayer, but what was his purpose? Sometimes we ask ourselves, God, what's my purpose? And we're going to go into this in the weeks to come in a lot more detail, but we read in Luke 4, verses 43 and 44, but he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose. So when we ask ourselves, what was his priority? His priority was prayer. And what was his purpose? His purpose was to preach. That's why he came. He knew that. He understood that. Because for this purpose, I have been sent. You see, Jesus' purpose was preaching. His purpose of coming to earth was to preach the kingdom of God. Because for this purpose I have been sent. He says, this is what I must do. I must stay focused on what I am going to do. It's the one thing he understood he must do. And one mistake that we often make in seeking God's purpose is we assume. Listen to me here. This is a really, if you're writing, taking notes, write this one down. We assume that whatever we're good at in the natural is what God wants us to do in ministry. That's our purpose. So because I'm good singing, then that means that's what my purpose is, and that's not always true. It's not always true. You see, so you may say, well, I'm good at public speaking. So God must be calling me into a preaching ministry. So move aside, Pastor, because I'm moving up. Can I share something with you? That may be true, but it may not be. It may not be. It goes back to principles in our lives. If we're living, maybe. It might be that God says, you know what, this guy's got too big of a mouth to move aside. I'm going to have to use that mouth. But if the attitude is wrong, then you're gonna have a lot of adjustments to make. You see, that wasn't true in my case. When I grew up, I don't know what happened in my high school years, but when I was younger, I was so shy. Some of you that knew me, I was so shy and I was so quiet. In fact, I got in an argument once at family camp because somebody was telling me that I wasn't a Grant. I said, yes, I am. That's my mom and my dad. And they're like, no, you have, there's John and there's Steve. I've never seen you. But I'm here. Trust me. Steve sleeps, we share the same bedroom. No, he's never talked about having another brother. I was the quiet one. I don't know what happened. I was shy. I hated being in front of people. I would fret for weeks when it came time. My mom always put me in that dreaded Christmas program. And I hated it because she knew I was going to memorize the parts. So I just got stuck being like Joseph or something that was, you know, had all these parts you had to memorize. I'm like, man, don't feel bad at me. It's not because of my dad's a preacher. It's just because I memorized my lines. I hate doing this. I hate being here. I don't want to be up in front. I'd rather be in the back drawing and making the sets and all that stuff. That's what I like to do. But you see, God called me beyond my natural ability. I don't know why. Maybe some act of cruelty, I guess. I don't know. But here I am. And I still get nervous. Every time I've got to come up and preach, I get nervous. That's why God's will may have nothing to do with your natural gifts. If you can do something yourself, think about this. If you can do something yourself naturally, why would you need God's help? I want to promise you, if you prioritize your life and you put prayer in your life first, I'm not talking about 24-hour a day or all-night prayer. I'm talking about consistent conversation with God. You put that first, and then you read His Word. You put that first, and God begins to speak to you. He will begin to give you the power and empower you to do what He's called you to do. But if it's something you do naturally, you don't need God's help for that. You see, our talents may be an indication of what God's will is, but not always. Because I believe that there's a lot of us here that have talents and abilities that are hidden deep within them, that until they find their God-given purpose, they will never have those talents and abilities. That's all part of the process. That God brings all of that out when He begins to instill into your life His plan and His purpose. All of those things that are hidden inside of you begin to surface and begin to come out. That's the unique thing and the beautiful thing about God. God's not going to set you up to make a fool out of you. It's only when we get too haughty and too high-minded and think too highly of ourselves that God's got a way of humbling us. And God didn't call everyone to preach, but He did call everyone to be a disciple. And it's our duty as a Christian to be a disciple. So if you could stand tonight and our musicians can come. You see, Jesus set His priorities. His first priority was prayer. And He always talked about prayer, and it always talked about reading the Word. And through prayer and through reading the Word determined His purpose. And we're going to continue on this study for a few more weeks yet. Next weekend we have our baby dedication, and Bishop will be preaching next Sunday morning. So we're excited about that. William Barclay says, there are two great days in a person's life. The first great day was the day you were born. And the second great day was the day we discover why. You see, it's that why in our life. Why am I here? That gives us mission in our life. It's that why that gives us purpose in our life. But you see, understanding that why is what sets our feet in motion as we work to live up to our God-given potential. But you see, we have to understand that why starts in our heart. Why am I here, God? It starts with a love and a relationship with God. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence. This is so powerful. For out of it springs the issues of life. But it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with everything that you have. For out of it will spring the issues of life. So as we started off tonight with our lives, we're all building. We're all building. But what foundation are we building on? We have to understand that all foundations are going to be tried, and yet there's only one foundation that's going to stand. So as we close out this message tonight, I want to invite you an opportunity to come down to the front here and spend some time in a relationship with God, with prayer. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. That's all right. Prayer is just conversation with God. Just come down. If the way you talk is say, hey, you know, yo, God, this is me. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? He's going to say, yo, bro, this is God. Yeah, you can talk for a few minutes. I'm listening. That's just how awesome God is. He's going to listen. I'm here. But we got to talk to him. So I want to invite you down tonight. If your life is, your priorities in your life are all messed up, you got yourself in all kinds of messes and quandaries, listen, come down and talk with God. Listen, we've all been there. We've all messed up. We can talk with you. We can help you. That's why we're here. We're here to help one another. So as our praise team begins to sing, would you come down and have a conversation with God tonight? Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I don't really want to come down there. Just sit where you're at. My faith. Say, God, I need some help. I've really made a mess. And I will call upon. Maybe you have a situation coming up this week that you just simply have no answers to. And keep my eyes open. God has the answer. But you got to talk to him. You got to listen to him.